You're listening to the Gulam Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussain Kamani. Gulam is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit gulaminstitute.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidil usuli wa khatimil anbiya, wa ala alihi al-asfiya wa ashabihi al-aktaya amma ba'd. Today, inshallah, we will recite Surah As-Sajda. Surah As-Sajda, Alif Lam Mim As-Sajda, was a very dear surah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions, they mentioned that it was a habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that every night before retiring to bed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite Surah Alif Lam Mim As-Sajda, and he would also recite Surah Al-Mulk. It is also a very common narration, a very authentic narration, that it was a habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite Surah Alif Lam Mim As-Sajda in the first rak'ah, and in the second rak'ah, Surah Al-Dahr, in the morning Fajr prayer of Jum'ah. So Jum'ah, the morning Fajr prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would in the first rak'ah recite Surah As-Sajda, and the second rak'ah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite Surah Al-Dahr. The Surah As-Sajda is a very powerful surah. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that there is a person who doesn't do much good deeds, but the only thing is that that one person has a connection with Surah As-Sajda. And he keeps reciting Surah Sajda, he keeps reciting Surah Sajda. When this person passes away, he will go to his grave, and in one narration, he will stand in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. And his sins will outweigh his good deeds. And Surah Sajda will come and say, Ya Allah, this person had love for me, this person used to recite me, I intercede on behalf of this person, and I beg you to pardon this person. And the hadith mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the intercession of Surah Sajda, and that person will be pardoned from the punishment of the grave, according to one narration, and the punishment of the hereafter, according to another narration. According to a third narration, this intercession will actually be done by the other surah the Prophet used to recite, which is Surah Al-Mulk, which is a more common narration, that Surah Mulk will intercede on behalf of the person. Regardless, there was a great scholar by the name of Ta'us, Ta'us rahmatullahi alayhi, he was a giant. He once said in one of his lectures that reciting Surah Mulk, the one who recites Surah Mulk and the one who recites Surah As-Sajda at night time, he will get the reward of worshipping Allah in the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. Any night of the year. If someone recites these two surahs during the night, he will get the reward of worshipping Allah in Laylatul Qadr. Now when we listen to that, it sounds like a far-fetched, right? I mean, how could a person get the reward of Laylatul Qadr by reading two surahs any time in the year? So the narrator, his name is Hatim. The narrator Hatim, he said that when Ta'us said this, I thought to myself, I don't know, that sounds like a far-fetch. So I went to another great scholar, Ta'us was the one who said it. He went to another great scholar, Ata rahmatullahi alayh. And he went to Ata rahmatullahi alayh and he said to him, that you know, I was with Ta'us, and Ta'us said that the one who recites Surah Sajda and Surah Mulk in one night, he will get the reward of worshipping Allah as if he worshipped in Laylatul Qadr. So Ata rahmatullahi alayh said, Sadaqa Ta'us. Ta'us has spoken the truth. And then Ata himself said that from the day I heard this narration, not a night has passed by that I have slept without reading these two surahs first. Because you can make every night of yours with the reward of Laylatul Qadr, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Such great reward. Surah As-Sajda holds within it a very beautiful message. It's an eye-opener. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starts off Surah As-Sajda by saying that I am the one who created everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I created the skies and the earth. I created everything around you. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ وَبَدَأَ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ طِينٍ. Everything I created it with perfection. There is no fault, no flaw at all. Everything I create has perfection in it. Everything we create as human beings will be imperfect because we are imperfect people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, so His creation is only at perfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I created everything with perfection, and so did I create the human being with perfection. The thing is that, you know, with the skies and the earth, with the rest of the world around us, they don't have pride. So Allah created them to perfection the day they came into existence. But however, the human being was going to have pride. So Allah said, I created you first humble, and I let you gradually grow. So you experienced your weaknesses as you grew up. Every stage in your life that passed by, you witnessed your own weakness. Allah says, الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ وَبَدَأَ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ نَسْلَهُ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ ثم صواه ونفخ فيه من روحي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, first we created you from clay. Then after creating from clay, we then use another component in your creation, a filthy drop, right? That exits from the man's body. A filthy drop, that's your origin. Allah says, be humble. Then Allah says, ثم صواه ونفخ فيه من روحي. And then we put the soul inside you. Why? And then after that Allah says, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمَعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. We then gave you the ability to listen. We then gave you the ability to see. And we gave you hearts so you can reflect and think. Why did Allah give us ears for? Why did Allah give us eyes for? Why did Allah give us a heart for? These eyes and these ears, they were given ultimately to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because imagine a life without ears and eyes and without a heart, without being able to think and ponder, how would we ever connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We would say to Allah on the Day of Judgment, oh Allah, I didn't have the means to connect with you. But now that we have these ears, we can listen to the message. Now that we can see miracles with our own eyes. Every person has witnessed something or the other during their life. And Allah says, we give you a heart so that you can take what you've seen and what you've heard and process it and ponder over it, reflect over it. قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ. But look, after I gave you all of that, you only thanked me a little bit. Then after Allah says, and not only do you not thank me, you challenge me. Very powerful surah. وَقَالُوا أَيْذَا ضَرَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Not only did I created you, I gave you perfection, but then after that you challenge my Qur'an and you say that after I die and my body is mixed with the soil and there's nothing that remains of my body, is it possible that Allah can create me all over again? You're challenging me now, Allah says. بَلْهُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh foolish person, don't deny your meeting with Allah, because no matter how much you deny you're going to meet Allah, you will still end up meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone in this room can say, I don't believe in death. Does that change the fact that you're going to die? Yes or no? Someone sitting here can say, I don't believe in Allah. فَلْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Does that remove Allah from the equation somehow, possibly? It doesn't. You know, you can call your father, you're not my dad. Does that mean he's not your dad anymore? He is always going to be your dad. You can't change the reality. Allah says, you can deny my meeting, you can cremate your body, you can lock it away in a coffin and try to preserve your body, you can take your ashes and throw them in some river, or go and toss them in the air out of a plane, but Allah says, you will still meet me. Because that's my promise. بَلْهُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. And how will you meet me? Then Allah says, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. That I will send the angel of death to you. And when the angel of death comes to you, there is nothing in the world that can stop him. Because, you know, the angel of death, Malakul Maut, is the word used in Arabic, which means angel of death. The name for angel of death is Israel. And Israel, it means Abdullah, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He says that, when I give the order for the angel of death to come and take your soul, there is nothing in the world that can stop him. Even if you went inside a fort and locked yourself, and went in another fort within that, and locked yourself again, and went inside a third vault, and locked yourself, and you went into seven vaults like this, and you went into a secure room where not even an animal or an insect can come inside, Allah says, when the angel of death comes to take your soul, he'll come there as well. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيِّدًا. Oh my dear brothers and sisters, that's the reality of our lives. That when Allah says, كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. When Allah says, be, that happens. Allah says, we will send the angel of death to come and receive your soul. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one day sitting with a companion, his sahaba. And there was an Ansari sahabi sitting there. And right behind the Ansari sahabi was standing the angel of death. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized the angel of death was here to take his soul. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the angel of death, be kind to him, be easy to him, he is a good person. So the angel of death said, O Messenger of Allah, for those who believe in you and for those who exert their lives worshipping Allah, I'm always rafiq to them. I'm always kind and loving to them. I'm never harsh to them at all. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an example of the one who desires to meet Allah, the one who has prepared himself to meet Allah. The extraction of his soul is like extracting a strand of hair from dough. You know, if you have dough and you have a hair that falls in there, pulling it out is so simple and smooth. But the Prophet says, the one who dislikes meeting Allah, the one who hasn't prepared to meet Allah, the one who forgot about Allah and feels that he's not going to meet Allah just because he forgot about it, the Prophet says when his death comes, the angel of death will take his soul out, and extracting his soul will be like pulling a silk cloth out of a pile of thorns. You know, when you pull a silk cloth out of a pile of thorns, what happens to it? It rips, it tears, it rips, it tears. It's like a child who is at the airport and his mother is going abroad, and the six-year-old kid holds his mom's hand and says, Mom, don't let me go. And the mom says, Berta, I gotta go, security here. And she pulls her hand away. How does that child feel? He's trying to do whatever he can to hold on to his mother's hand, but sooner or later his hand will slip from his mother's hand. And the child will stand there crying as he sees his mother disappear away because of his immense love for his mother. And that's what will happen to a person who has immense love for the dunya and no love for the akhirah. That when the angel of death comes, he will hold on to the dunya and say, please don't let me go, please don't let me go. And the narration mentions first his soul will be extracted to his ankles and then it will be released again. And then to his knees and released again. And then to his hips and released again. And then to his breast and released again. And then to his shoulders and released again. And finally the angel of death will say, now it's time for you to return to Allah because that's what Allah has ordered. You're the only person who disobeys Allah. We don't disobey Allah. When Allah tells us to take someone's soul out, we take it. Right? And then after that, you know, the narration I was saying regarding the Ansari Sahabi, the Prophet said, actually I'll share with you one hadith first before I move forward, since we're on this point. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever desires to meet Allah, Allah also loves to meet that person. Man ahabba liqa'a Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. Whoever loves to meet Allah, in his heart he desires that, ya Allah, I want to meet you. You know, this separation is too hard on me. You're my beloved and I am your lover. I want to meet you. The Prophet says that Allah also loves to meet that person. And then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. And whoever dislikes meeting Allah, Allah also says, I don't want to see you either. I don't want to see you either. So the angel of death then said, O Messenger of Allah, anyone who is a believer and does good deeds, I am always kind to him. And then he said that whenever Allah, from the day the person is born, from the day the human being is born, I meet him every day 5 times. And I look at him very carefully. And I wait for Allah to give me the command to take his soul. And if Allah says no, I leave. And he said, I visit that person 5 times a day, regularly, every single day, until a point where I think I know him better than he even knows himself. Because I've observed him so well. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the command, I come and take the soul. You know, according to another narration, one sahabi, while doing tafsir of this, explaining this narration, the shrih, he ended up saying that when the angel of death says, I meet the person 5 times a day, what that actually means is that he meets him at every prayer time. At every salah time when the adhan is called, the angel of death meets that person. He says to him, brother, today's not your day, but be ready for the day when your day comes. The angel of death, when created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it instructions that you will take the soul from human beings. And the angel of death said, oh Allah, if I'm the one who is going to give them death, then they're all going to hate me. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that's why I have created illnesses. So when they die, they won't blame you, they'll blame the illnesses. But ultimately, illness or not, sick or not, when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, can anyone stop it? Yes or no?
No.
No one can stop it. And this is our weakness. You go to any doctor in the world, you put down millions of dollars, but that doctor cannot stop death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives a very beautiful challenge in Surah Waqi'ah. He says, okay, you believe you're powerful. You believe you're it. You believe you have all the abilities and all the knowledge in the world. And you think you're greater than Allah, I have a challenge for you. The challenge is this. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. That I want you to imagine for a moment that someone is dying. Have any of you ever been by the bedside of someone dying? Raise your hand. Right? A lot of us have, okay? Now you're seeing that person dying. And his soul reaches the hulqum. Hulqum means the throat, right here. That last second, right before the soul is taken out. You're there and you can see that their soul is just at the hulqum. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. You're there. Allah's giving a challenge. You're there, that person is dying. Allah says, I'm also there too. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. You're there, we're there, he's dying. If you really believe in your power, تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Put the soul back in the body. Can anyone do that? No one can turn the soul back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ. Tell them, O Muhammad, that the angel of death will surely come and take their souls. And he is the one who has been appointed over them. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Or whether you like it or not, ultimately you will be dragged back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah, He draws the scene of the Day of Judgment, fast forwarding, when all the servants are gathered in front of Allah. When the servants are gathered in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, all the creation will be in one large plane. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will announce, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, from Surah Yasin. وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. O criminals, set aside and make yourself distinguished. And that at that moment, all those who did good will be in one line, and all those who ended up doing bad will automatically swift over to the left side. And as they separate and as they split, Allah says, I will then look, Allah says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Only if at that moment, only if you can see today, only if there was a window that would open up and it would allow you to see the hereafter, you would see all of those criminals and crooks who forgot me in the dunya, they will be standing in front of Allah with their heads lowered down out of shame and out of disgrace. They will be disgraced with themselves. They will be disgusted with themselves. They will feel low of themselves, and they will be looking down as criminals do when they are convicted of a crime. And then they will say to Allah, when they know that they're in trouble, رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَّمِعْنَا فَرَجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُقِنِينَ. Oh our Lord, today is the day of judgment. We've seen it all. We've seen you, we've seen Jannah, Jahannam. We've heard it all. Give us a chance to go back to the world one more time. And what's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's what's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's policy?
No
one goes back to the world. Once you're gone, you don't get the chance to go back. أو تقول حين ترى العذاب لو أن لي كرة فأكون من المحسنين بلا قد جاءتك آياتي. Allah will say to that person, you heard the verses, you had the chance, you ignored, there's no returning back for you now. ولو شئنا لآتينا كل نفس هداها. Ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, while doing tafsir of this ayah, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if Allah wanted, He could give you the chance to go back to the world. But if Allah was to give you the chance to go back to the world, what would you do? You make the same mistakes again. Because today someone's telling you that the akhirah is a reality. But we still ignore it. So tomorrow when someone tells you again, you're going to make the same mistake again because maybe it's a part of you. Maybe it's your laziness. Allah says, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ يَجْمَعِينَ. I made a promise that those who disobeyed me in the world, they will have to face my punishment. And now Allah says, فَذُوقُوا بِمَا نَسِيتُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. Then the verdict will be given. Go and taste the punishment because you forgot meeting us today. Because you forgot about your meeting, now transition and move forward to your punishment. Allah then says, إِنَّا نَسِيْنَاكُمْ. Today we will forget you because yesterday you forgot us. Today we will forget you. You know when you're in the punishment, you know when a child is in punishment and he's standing in the corner in time up, what's one thing that he's hoping? Mom and dad didn't forget. Because if they forgot, I'm going to be standing there for a long time. Right? So they keep looking back. Is mom watching? Is dad looking? Mom looking? Dad looking? Allah says, when we send you to the fire of hell, it's as if we'll forget you. إِنَّا نَسِينَاكُمْ. We're going to forget about you too. And then Allah says, فَذُوقُ الْعَذَابُ الْخُلْدِ. Now taste the punishment of eternity. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that in the next verse, this is the verse of sajda. So for those of us that are listening, we need to perform sajda after we recite this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهَا خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَصَبَّحُوا بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Allah says, the true believers are those, إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهَا خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا. My true believers are those that when they hear these verses, they fall into sajda. وَصَبَّحُوا بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And they glorify their Lord and they don't show any pride and they say, Ya Allah, we are weak. Ya Allah, we are at fault. Ya Allah, please overlook all of our shortcomings the day we stand in front of you. Then Allah gives one very beautiful characteristic of the people who are focused for the hereafter, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. That their shoulders part their beds at night and they make dua to their Lord. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Out of fear and with greed. And they spend from what Allah gave in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, let us wake up and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, let us part our sides from our beds and stand up and say, Ya Allah, when I meet you, don't let me fail. Ya Allah, when I meet you, don't be angry with me. Ya Allah, I've made mistakes, but I promise that at the end of the day, I will worship only you and you alone. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. My dear brothers and sisters, Surah Sajda is an eye-opener. It's a very powerful surah. It's such a powerful surah that I said to you, Allah says, the believers are those that when they hear the ayah, they fall into sajda. That's why today when the Shaykh recites it, all of us will fall into sajda as well. Ya Allah, we heard the ayah, and now we are in sajda as well because you said the believers fall into sajda, so we are believers and we are also lowering ourselves in sajda. My teacher used to always say this beautiful line of poetry, and I'm going to say it as I end tonight's khatira. He used to say, Jaisi karni, waisi bharni, na maane to karke de. Which means, what you do is what you'll get. If you don't believe it, give it a try. You know how in English we say, what goes around, comes around. In Arabic they say, kama tadinu tudan. What you do is what you're going to get. Jaisi karni, waisi bharni, na maane to karke de. Jannat bhi hai, dozakh bhi hai, na maane to marke de. He used to say, what you do in life is what you will get paid back with. If you don't believe it, give it a try. He used to say, paradise does exist. And the fire of hell also exists. If you don't believe it, die and give it a try. Then you'll find out that you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jalla give us all the tawfiq and ability to awaken to this remembrance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to submit ourselves to the orders and commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah azza wa jalla allows us all to change and turn into pious servants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons all of our mistakes that we make before we die and allows us to stand with the salihin and the nabiyyin and the siddiqeen and the shuhada on the day of judgment. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.